What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on Twitter/X. That's Sports Business. So you can find me there at SPORTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show, sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about our Week 13 winners and losers. We're going to dibble-dabble in a little bit into the whole uproar of college football. Why y'all acting like y'all care, but y'all really don't. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our NBA Fast Break notes. And then before we get up out of here, we're going to do the dummy of the day. But first things first, I seen everybody was out here posting their Spotify top fives. But I definitely wanted to just take the time out to thank everybody for showing me love and support. Whether that's Spotify, whether that's on Google, whether that's on Stitcher, whether that's on Anchor, whether that is on Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, my people out there in Houston, Keith, you do a great job putting me on your show or on your web platform every week. But some numbers. Your boy went up 36% on as far as more listeners, 65% uptick in streams, 40% more followers. And we also created an additional 33% worth of minutes. So couldn't have done it without y'all. Super duper humbled, super duper honored. And most of all, you know, this can't be done without y'all. So everybody that tells me all the good things and everybody tells me all the bad things, I can't do this without y'all. So just wanted to kind of give y'all the numbers for the 2024, even though we got three strong weeks before the year, new year rings in. But hey, man, appreciate everybody. But anyway, other than that, you follow me on Instagram at Money Compton. You know that your boy went to Dallas this past weekend, and I tore that city down. So the homie Tim and I, we worked together, and he hit me up and was like, yo, let's do some for the weekend. And I said, I bet. So I landed Wednesday late night. Thursday, we went to the Cowboys-Seahawks game. Friday, we went to the Dallas Mavs against the Memphis Grizzle. Saturday, we went to the Big 12 championship game with the University of Texas against Oklahoma State. And then Saturday night, I kicked it with my cousin and went to the Mavericks. Who they play? Mavericks and... Oh, the Thunder. The Thunder. See, your boy did so much, I forgot off rip how much stuff I had to do. But anyways, Dallas don't owe me nothing. It was a really, really good time to see friends and family. But I'm glad that I actually went to Dallas when I did, is because, you know, like I said, I went to the Big 12 championship game, and my boy Tim, who's a University of Texas alumni, you know, he's fully vested in the game, and they did they thug dizzle and blew the doors off of Oklahoma State. But I was flying home yesterday morning. I landed here locally around 8 a.m. ish, so I was able to get back home. And I started, you know, seeing the uproar of social media. First of all, y'all already know how I feel about college sports. And I really don't talk about it on the show because I've already told y'all. Y'all be taking this whole college sport fandom to a whole nother level. And half of y'all ain't even fill out a damn, ain't did it, SAT or ACT. But y'all are out here talking about University of Florida online. That's just really weird. To me, high school or college sports is a step above high school sports. Like, if I went to one school, I'm repping, you know, that's me. But I'm not going to be claiming another school for whatever the reason is. But that's not, I'm not here to, I digress. But, you know, there's this whole uproar of the University of Florida State being missed out of the Final Four rankings. Well, here's the thing. I dare any one of y'all to show me in the regulations, in the rule book that says anything about a undefeated conference champion has an automatic bid to be into this. This 4-team playoff bracket system. Show me that and I'll level with you. Here's the reason why I feel like the college football playoff committee got it right. Is because, one, if you're keeping it a buck, the game's already played on like New Year's Eve/New Year's Day, where a lot of people are either, if it's on New Year's Day, too hungover to be worried about some damn football. And then if it's on New Year's Eve, they too worried about parlaying and ringing in the new year. So the slate, the way it's already slated out is that it's not a lot of people watching these games. Number two, the national semifinals games the average margin of victory, ladies and gentlemen, because I think this is going on 10 years. I think 2014 is when they initiated this 14 playoff system. The average margin of victory for the semifinal games is 21 points, which means they haven't even been close. They've been boat races. They've been blowouts for all of those national semifinal games. You bring in a Florida State game team that is on their third string quarterback, who has struggled the last 2 weeks against Florida and LSU respectively in those two games, and they've looked like lemon booty. You mean to tell me that you want a Florida State team that's going to go up against Washington, let's just say Georgia, Alabama, or Michigan, and you think they actually had a chance? Because if you do, I hope your job don't do drug testing, because you definitely need to go ahead and give them some type of sample, because something's wrong with you. Number two, everybody keeps talking about Ohio State the first year that they did it, which is cool. The thing about Ohio State, when JT Barrett, I think, broke his leg and Cardale Jones had to come in and replace him, was the fact that even though JT Barrett broke his leg or had that gruesome injury, that team was ran around Ezekiel Elliott. The team had one of the Bosa brothers. The team had, I believe, Mike Thomas on that squad as well. The team, it wasn't necessarily just a quarterback where the quarterback was the stir and everyone else kind of made everything happen. Nah, that's not how that happened that year. The fact that also, whenever JT Barrett got hurt, the Ohio State Buckeyes, they had a couple of games to figure it out. And not to mention, they blew out, I want to say it was Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game that year, like 55-0. So it was without a shadow of a doubt that they were still considered one of the best four teams that year. So there's that. And if anybody should be mad that they're not even in the Final Four, it's Georgia. And I haven't heard Kirby Smart say anything about, we got robbed, we got cheated, we deserve better. Georgia ain't lost a game in 2 years, won back-to-back national championships, and they're not even invited. You don't think they got something to be mad about right now? And you ain't heard a peep out of them. They just lost at the worst possible time. And the same thing with Florida State. They had a bad injury. And everybody keeps saying it's not fair. You know, they don't just, you know, they deserve better. Only place I know, the only fair I know, they sell smoked turkeys and popcorn. That's at your county fair. Okay, and that's the only fair I know. All this whole deserve, it's not fair. You know, it is what it is. It's a cold world out here. Nobody wanted to watch another blowout. Nobody wanted to see FSU get their doors blown. You know, hear this little tweety twat story about, oh, well, you know, they fought so hard, but the score is 63-7 like it was Georgia against TCU last year in the national championship game. So that's the reason why Florida State ain't in it. Do they deserve to be in it? Maybe. But no, they did it right. The committee got it right by putting Texas in. You kind of had to put Texas in once when Alabama won. Washington did they thug dizzle. They're undefeated. And Michigan, they did they thug dizzle as well. So, you know, all y'all out here talking about it's a travesty. You know, it is what it is. Don't worry. Next year, it's going to be 12 teams, and we're going to have even more blowouts. And for some reason, whatever teams that are ranked, I don't know, 13 through 16, we're going to have the same thing. So we're going to talk about Liberty, Liberty University out here on why they can't make it to the Big Dance. So, you know, if I like it, you love it. But I'm just telling y'all right now, next year when it goes up to 12 teams, we're going to have a lot more blowouts. We're going to have a lot more of this whole what people need to be deserving, because you all complain about every little thing and y'all just don't enjoy things for face value. I'm cool with the four. I would pick those four once an Alabama won and beat Georgia Saturday night. So, you know, those are my just 2 cents. But, you know, for me, I'm more worried about the Army-Navy game this week. That's me. You know why? Because I actually was in the Army. Like, I served and, you know, it's kind of the thing. It's not like me out here rooting for, I don't know, the Rutgers or something like that. You know, I actually got ties to the Army, to the Army Academy. So, but hey, do you. Anyways, let's go right on ahead and do these Week 13 winners and losers. First set of winners goes to the Green Bay Packers. Hey, man, Packers got there and been low-key kind of holding it down. Like I said last week, everybody was out here ready to write off Jordan Love on his first full-time being a starter. And I think I brought up some stats where if you'd have took his first 11 or 12 starts, they're pretty much the same as Aaron Rodgers, and y'all wasn't ready to throw the book at him. So let that man marinate. Christian Watson, I think is his name. He's getting it together. Romeo Doubs is getting it together. They have a defense that's above average. So the fact that they were able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I always call Patrick Mahomes Air Jordan, and they almost won. Yes, there were some questionable calls at the end of the game, but, you know, the Packers did what they were supposed to do, and they made it happen. They jumped out to, I believe, a 14-3 lead going into the second quarter, and they held on to that lead. So nobody expected the Packers to play as hard as they did and beat them, and now they're kind of in their own – they control their own destiny. If they win out, I believe they can be in the playoffs. And like I said, I'm not really sold on the Lions, and I know that I'm going to talk about them a little bit later. But, you know, the way the Lions have been looking, it's not a sure bet fire shot that the Lions are going to win that division as long as the Green Bay Packers keep playing the way that they're playing. So that's my first set of winners. My next set goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Y'all really didn't think I was going to talk about them? Come on now. Did I think the 49ers were going to win that game? Yes. Did I think they were going to smoke the Philadelphia Eagles? No, I did not see that happening. And it's crazy because as much of a crazy weekend I had in Dallas, me and my boys, there were some grumblings that we were going to try to pull. They were going to go to Philly and try to go to the game. And I was like, I don't think I can make it. But I was, the wheels were turning where I was trying to figure out a way to leave from Dallas and go straight to Philly and come back to Vegas probably today. But it didn't happen nevertheless. But to make a long story short, for the 49ers to go out there in really, really nasty weather out there, cold, rainy, damp, foggy, you name it, they had it. And for them to just open up a can of whoop-ass against the Philadelphia Eagles was pretty shocking, especially after the first two drives. Like, the Niners didn't look rattled coming off those first two drives, and they were able to limit the Eagles, I believe, to just 6 points. After that, I think it was 6-0. And after that, it was pretty much ball game. You had Deebo Samuel go off. You had George Kittle initially, who, when the game started, kind of, you know, a couple of those catches was able to get the drive rolling, especially on that third drive. They were able to get things going. Brandon Ayuk was able to go off. You know, when you got Juwan Jennings getting into the box score with a touchdown, you already know that it's a boat race happening. Not to mention, my man Christian McCaffrey. I know everyone's talking. I know everyone in the Bay Area wants to keep saying that Brock Purdy might be the MVP. Hey, man, Christian McCaffrey, I believe, already has 1,000 yards running the ball. There's only been 12 games that have played. I think 30, yeah, they played 12 games already. This dude has 17 touchdowns. All right? Y'all keep talking about Brock Purdy being MVP, which is cool. I think you got to give it to Christian McCaffrey. I think he had a touchdown in 20-some straight games before a few weeks ago. And they're making it happen. And here's the thing, another thing about, you know, the 49ers. You take them against the Steelers, Cowboys, Eagles, and another team that I can't think of off the top of my head, which are teams that are all above 500, and them boys have won by a combined 103 points. Let me see what that other team is, just so I can give you all notes. Yeah. Oh, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars, Cowboys, Steelers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. They have won by a combined 103 points. Hey, man, we're in this part of the season where you can start using point differential. Everyone wants to use these little made-up stats, QBR, and all this other advanced metrics. Now, I use point differential. And if you're talking about, you know, point differential and whatnot, the Niners are right up there. They're right up there as far as being one of the best, and they proved it again yesterday. I think the point differential right now is a plus 163, which is by far leading the league, leading the entire league. Second closest is Miami Dolphins. So their point differential is wild. And the 103 alone is right there. You have it. My next set of winners are the Indianapolis Colts. Like I said last week, the Colts have been interesting. They've been a pretty good team. They play hard. They couldn't meld it in last, you know, when Anthony Richardson, their first round draft pick, got hurt. But Gardner Minshew has been able to hold things together. They also didn't have Jonathan, their leading rusher, and Jonathan Taylor. He didn't play yesterday, and they still made things happen. They beat a Denver Broncos team, which I'm still not really sold on this whole Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. They got it, but they got their mojo back. But nevertheless, they had a active winning streak of 5 games, and the Colts were able to snap that. It was a hell of a stand at the final drive, but they made it happen. And I don't know how serious is anybody else taking the Colts, but they definitely play hard every Sunday, and they definitely deserve the nod as far as getting one of my Week 13 winners. So shout out to the Colts, man, because that ain't easy. And my next set is the the Houston Texans. Hey, man. I keep telling y'all about the Texans, man. Like, I just love this team. Like, outside of my Raiders, this might be my second favorite team to watch. Actually, it's my favorite team to watch. Like, I love watching my Raiders, but at the same time, like, we ain't doing nothing. But the Texans... Actually, I'm sorry. I got it messed up. The Colts played... Jeez Louise, I'm all over the place. My internet's running slow. The Colts played the Titans. I'm sorry. The Titans, you know, Derrick Henry had a good game before he got hurt. But, you know, they made things happen. They blocked a couple of punts, you know, and they made it happen. Now, back onto the Texans that beat the Colts in the goal line stand. Got it totally confused. Lost Tank Dell, who looks like he broke his ankle or his leg. Prayers up to him. I hope he's able to get it, have a speedy recovery. But, like I said, CJ Stroud, man, he's that dude. Like, you know, everybody keep talking about Brock Purdy might be an MVP. You got to kind of put CJ Stroud in that same conversation. They actually beat the Broncos and snapped their 5-game winning streak. So, you know, depending on how this Monday night game goes with Jacksonville against the Cincinnati Bengals, who knows? You know, they're not out of the driver's seat as far as trying to go after not only a playoff berth, but even possibly a divisional round where they can host a playoff game. But D'Amico Ryans is unanimous coach of the year. You got CJ Stroud, who's a unanimous rookie of the year. You got a defense where Mr. Will Anderson is looking like that top 5 pick that they got. You got Derek Stingley Jr., who was out here just picking balls left and right, looking like the LSU Derek Stingley Jr. again. So they are playing with a lot of pieces. They don't have a lot of stars on that team outside of CJ Stroud, but them boys play collectively. They play very, very hard. And like I said, they're one of my favorite teams that I love watching playing. And, you know, anytime I can see a team get beaten up by the beat up on the Broncos, that makes me feel good as well. So, shout out to them. Those are your Week 13 winners. Switching over to the Week 13 losers. Hey, man. Cleveland Browns. I don't know what else to say about these boys. Like, what are we doing with quarterback? Like, I get it. Deshaun Watson is down for the year. PJ Walker was hurt. DTR, I think, was hurt as well. And they ended up having to go with Jose Flacco, a.k.a. Joe Flacco. But, you know, for this to be like an all-elite, Super Bowl-contending winning defense, for them to get their doors blown off by the L.A. Rams, it's not a knock on the Rams, but it's the Rams. You know, it's been a very, very underwhelming season for me when it comes down to the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, they lost to the Steelers in a funky, weird game. But then they beat the 49ers, but the 49ers had a mad injuries that game. So I can't put my finger on the Cincinnati Cleveland Browns. Until I actually see them win something, I'm not going to believe in them. Amari Cooper got hit out with a concussion yesterday. I just don't know about this team. Like, they've been a little bit of a disappointment. Like, y'all kind of should have had an inkling that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to be anywhere of what he once was. So I don't know why they kept rolling the dice with him. I know that there's a huge financial burden that's associated with him, but I thought they would be looking a little bit better. You got Kareem Hunt. You got Njoku. You still had Amari Cooper before he got hurt. You have a Denzel Ward. You got Myles Garrett. You should be able to beat the LA Rams. So that's one set of losers. My next set goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, man. I can't figure out what is going on with these boys. Like, I just don't get it. One minute they hot, one minute they cold. You know, I know Kenny Pickett got hurt, but I've never been the biggest Kenny Pickett fan. So, you know, it is what it is, but you can't be losing to the Arizona Cardinals. And I know the Cardinals played mad hard. Even before they got rid of Rocket Boy, a.k.a. Joshua Dobbs, they were still in a lot of games. Like, they beat the Cowboys. But you out here getting smoked 24-10, losing to the Arizona Cardinals at home, it's not a good look at all. So I know that they're on a short week. They play this Thursday, and I think they play the Patriots. Ooh, I'm not watching that. But, you know, you got to kind of – Mike Tomlin's got to figure out what he's going to do. Like, is Kenny Pickett the long-term solution? Because I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't have a lot of faith in that dude. He's too injury-prone. I feel like he's getting hurt every few weeks, misses some games for whatever the reason may be. So I'm looking for somebody who's going to be a little bit more durable than him. So, yeah, Steelers, you get you're definitely some losers this week. My next set goes to the San Diego – I keep saying San Diego – L.A. Chargers. I know they won the game, ladies and gentlemen. But did they really? Come on, man. They won 6-0, 2 field goals against the New England Patriots. But E, they played, it was a road game, you know, in inclement winter and yada, yada, yada. Hey, man, I do know this. If the Chargers would have lost that game, there's no way you let Brandon Staley come back from Foxborough all the way back to L.A. You'd have to make that dude walk or something back to L.A. There's no way that dude would have got on my plane if I was the owner. But this is almost a fireable offense. This is a game or a team that you look on the schedule and be like, oh, yeah, this should be barbecue chicken right here. We should be able to touch him up. Let's go ahead and see what we can do as far as getting some backups, a little bit of playing time. But you ain't out here just struggling against the New England Patriots who didn't even have a quarterback. You know, they had, what's my man, Zappin' Roger, Mac Jones didn't play. Like, they don't have a quarterback. Like, they're literally playing 11-on-10 football. And you mean to tell me all you can put up is 6 points? That's a fireable offense. And I don't know what the Spanos family plans on doing with Brandon Staley at the end of the year. I would pull the plug on him because you are just literally wasting prime years with Justin Herbert. And if I'm Justin Herbert, man, what you trying to do, bro? You trying to win and you just, I know you got the bag, but are you just the dude that's going to be, I got the bag, I got a big arm, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just here chilling. Or you want to be that dude that wants to mark, you know, start working on your resume, because your resume is looking a little skimpy right now, dog. And that's and I'm trying to give you a pass because you're playing for a terrible coach, but you might need to be a little bit more vocal and be like, hey, man, we got to be able to do this. We got to be able to, come up with different concepts. We got to play, you know, have better play calls and start turning up the heat on this coach, because if not, this dude's going to be here again and everybody's just going to be looking around like, damn, he still ain't fired yet. Like, what he done did for him to keep his job? So the Chargers can be such a fun team to watch, but at the same time, don't nobody want to watch them, because Brandon Staley does Brandon Staley things that should be fireable in almost any other organization here in the NFL, but somehow this dude still is able to keep his job. So I know the Chargers won, but at the same time, they ultimately lost. Like, you can't, I know Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft somewhere are like, dang, we kind of came off, you know, we got let off a little easy, only just losing 6 points, and they didn't score a touchdown. On the Patriots defense, I'd be hot, because you pretty much had them shut out if you only got them off for 2 field goals. So, yeah, they're my next set of losers. My next set of losers goes to the Detroit Lions. Yes, again, I know they won the game. Yes, I've told you that I don't believe in them. Yes, they were up, and you know they were up and they gave up a big lead, but yes, they still figured it out how to win. Hey, man, you can't go to New Orleans and be up, I believe it was 24-3 or even 24-0 at one point, and they're damn near within a possession away of tying the game up or even winning this game, and think that it's all good in the hood. Like, that can't happen. That cannot happen. And the fact that the score at one point was 28-21, or yeah, 28-21, that's a bad deal. So I just don't know. And I know that I think they're like 9-3 for the first time since 1962. If I am looking at the NFC right now, I think the Cowboys are better than them. I think the Eagles are better than them. And I damn sure think the 49ers are better than them. They're missing another pass rusher. I think they're missing another piece at the wide receiver core. They're missing somebody in the secondary. They got a lot of missing pieces, and I feel like. But also, how focused are they? Are they just riding the wave that everyone believes in the Lions and everybody wants to see the Lions succeed, and they just get complacent? Because you can't tell me that you're up 24-3, 24-0, or whatever it was at that one point, with a Derek Carr team where Derek Carr gets knocked out of the game and they're still in the game. You can't tell me that this team is elite. Like, it wasn't a divisional game. I get it was on the road, whatever the case may be. It was an indoor game. They play indoors, so it's not, there's no really mixing and matching up with that. But I will say this. The Lions better pick it up really, really soon. We only got a few more games left in the season. Otherwise, don't let them play the Cowboys. I legitimately think the Cowboys can beat the Detroit Lions on the road. I just really believe that. I feel like the moment's going to be too big. I ain't too much prepping that Dan Campbell can do for the Detroit Lions. But I legitimately think that the moment will be too big for the Detroit Lions, and somehow they're just going to have a case of the lemon booty. I really believe that, so. Those are your Week 13 winners and losers. Let's go ahead and do these NBA fast break notes real quick. Hey, man, I told you I went to 2 basketball games this weekend. And I think I was talking to the homie. And I was saying, hey, man, I think I've only watched, as far as like from beginning to end, from tip off to the last whistle or to the clock struck zero, I've only watched two basketball games. And I think one was me going to the Warriors Nuggets game. And the other one was me and my boy Sergio was here at the house. It was like a Saturday 11 o'clock matinee, Philadelphia 76ers game. Anyways, make a long story short, I went to those two games. The thing that I took away is that in this NBA, probably within the last, for sure, last two seasons, 20-point leads ain't what they was. Like, you being up by 20 in the NBA is almost like being down by 10 points. I don't know if I like it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But it's funny because me and my cousin Ken, we was at the game, the Mavericks Thunder game, and the Thunder was up by 20 going into the fourth quarter. And he kind of looked at me and was like, hey, man, you think you're going to leave? And I had been a little bit tired, and I was thinking about it. I was like, let's just see if they make a little final push, knowing damn well that they wasn't going to come back. The Dallas Mavericks went on a 30-zip run and took the lead. Needless to say, they ended up coming back. The Thunder ended up coming back and losing, but I've seen way too many Golden State Warriors games this year where the Warriors have been up big and lost, ended up losing. I think they were up by 20 this past Saturday against the Clippers, and somehow they lost that. They were up by 20-something last week against the Kings, and they lost that. But you see way too many 20-point leads going in the fourth quarter, and somehow these leads are just being they just shrink up, which is nuts because, like I said, a couple of years ago, just maybe two short years ago, that was not the case. You could easily be up 20 after the first quarter, and it'd be curtains. Like it would be curtains. There was no coming back. You can kind of coast your way on through the rest of the game, and hope that you left the arena fully healthy. So that's one thing that I was able to kind of take away, because both games that I went to against the Mavericks, they were down by 20. And they kind of clawed their way back into some of these games, and they didn't make it happen. So, kind of just really, really interesting on how that has happened. As far as, I don't know if it's just more possessions, score. I know for a fact scoring's up, so that's got to be more possessions. But here we are, December the 4th, and we are looking at about, out of all the NBA players that can qualify, you got over 40 players that are averaging 20 points right now. You hear me? You got over 40 players that averaged 20 points. And then on top of that, out of those 40, you got about 7 or 8 people that are averaging 30 in the league right now. And y'all want to talk about defense and, scoring's at an all-time high. Yeah, well, it's scoring's at an all-time high because nobody's playing defense. Nobody is literally trying to play defense. So 20-point leads ain't what they are anymore. And that leads me to think about these young teams, and I saw something about the Detroit Pistons have not won a game in the month of November, that somehow the Texas Rangers, or actually the Detroit Tigers, have won more games in the month in the last calendar year than the Detroit Pistons have. And I know Monty Williams just got there, but come on, bruh. You mean to tell me you can't muster up more than just three? I think they only won 3 games this year. What is going on over there? You got Cade Cunningham, was a former number one overall draft pick. You got Jaden Ivey, another lottery pick. You got James Wiseman, who is a number two former overall pick. And y'all can't do nothing. Y'all done lost 17 games in a row with 2 wins. What is going on over there? I know, like I said, I don't know what Monty Williams can do to get these boys to play. But this ain't looking good at all. And it's not like they can have a fire sale or anything like that. But, man, I sure hate to be that team that's going, where they going to break their, snap this losing streak, but it ain't looking like it's anytime soon. So they need to get it together. And it's not like they losing. They losing on an average of like 9 points a game. So they're getting their doors blown off pretty doggone bad. So it ain't looking good. But then on the flip side, I see the Bucks have won 8 of the last 10. And they've been playing a little bit better. I know they had a couple of wonky days, but it feels like the Dame Lillard, Giannis freaky greeky combination is still, they're still trying to navigate it out, but really, really happy to see Dame and Freaky Greeky get it together. Now, while I did go to that Thunder game against the Mavericks, I did notice that I might have spoke a little bit too soon about Chet Holmgren. Do I think he's going to be as good as Big Creme Brulee, Victor Wembanyama? The jury's out, but I do think that he is solid. He's a serviceable NBA player. Like I said, I've been very, very worried about anybody who comes out of the University of Gonzaga. Do I think he's going to be a star in this league? He might be, but he does play a lot. He plays hard-nosed defense. He's able to block shots and whatnot. He's fearless when it comes to, you know, coming into the paint and defending the paint. So I do like that about him. But Chet Holmgren, if the season ended today, you kind of have to put him as the rookie of the year. And that's not me knocking Big Creme Brulee, but Chet Holmgren has had a very more steady rookie season than Big Creme Brulee. Now, there's a whole lot of basketball left. Like, we're literally only around, like, 19 games. So, we've probably been around, like, a quarter of the season. So, there's still a lot of basketball to be made up. But really, really excited to see. I was really impressed with what I saw with Chet Holmgren. As far as SGA goes, I know he only had about 17, 18 points that game. I didn't realize, like, he's a tall 6'6 guard. Like, when they said they list him at 6'6, he's legitimately 6'6. So, SGA, I'm buying a little bit more stock in him. I still don't see how he was an All-NBA first teamer last year, but here we are coming in this year. It's a new season, so I'll be paying a little bit more attention to homie. But you know, he moves silky smooth. I can't knock it. He moves very, very, very silkily smoothly. So good things for him. Like I said, before we get up out of here, you've been listening to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms, so wherever you're getting your podcast from, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Make sure you leave a review. Before we get up out of here, we're definitely going to talk about this dummy of the day. And so, I got the notification, and I was just like, wait, what? And apparently, like I said, the Oklahoma State Cowboys played against University of Texas at the Big 12 Championship game. Apparently, there was a police was called at an Oklahoma State frat house out there in Stillwater. A dead longhorn being outside of their frat house. Now, let me start off by saying I am in no shape, way, form, a PETA guy or anything like that. But there's been multiple conflicting stories about it, that the family of whoever got this, there's a family that owned a ranch, and the longhorn was already, I guess, dead, or on his dying bed, and they went on ahead and pulled the plug on the longhorn, brought the longhorn out to the frat house on campus. I've also heard reports that they went out to a farm and killed a longhorn. I don't know what to believe, but I do know this. That's a little, this is what I be talking about, college fans doing way too much. Y'all really went out and got a longhorn. I don't know about y'all. I'm not really into this whole dead carcasses and things like that. Like, it attracts a lot of bugs. Bugs get crows. Crows coming and vultures come. And now you got a whole damn ecosystem over this dead ass longhorn. And now you got all the Discovery Channel Wild Kingdom just circling around over this dead carcass. So, I don't know how long this carcass of a longhorn was there, but come on, man, what are we doing? What are we doing where y'all take y'all school pride, or if it's a prank or whatever the case may be, where y'all wanted to go get a dead longhorn? I was stationed in Texas. Them longhorns are freaking huge. So the fact that you got this big ass longhorn on your Ford F-150 and hauled it back to Stillwater and dropped it off and was like, look at this. Ain't we cool? Yeah, forget them longhorns. Hook them horn. Like, come on, man. It ain't that serious. Half of y'all probably ain't even gonna graduate, and y'all out here doing all this, talking about hook 'em horns. For what? What are you doing? So, the people that were involved in this, I don't know if y'all slaughtered the longhorn, or whatever the case may be, y'all definitely gotta be the dummies of the day. The whole logistics of just transporting a dead longhorn, that's enough in itself. But for y'all to think that was cool, slash funny, or entertaining, or what y'all's endgame was, it was classless. It was tasteless. It's actually kind of disgusting. Like, it's pretty doggone nasty for y'all to be running around here with a whole bunch of dead cows thinking, look at me, y'all. This is kind of funny. So, y'all a little bit weird, but definitely y'all are the dummy of the day. And yeah, that's it. Like I said, we do the show once a week. We're going to run it back next week with our week 14 winners and losers. I will be going back home to the Bay Area this week. Going to go check out Devin Haney. And go from there. But yeah, until then, y'all be safe. We out of here.